This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In what has been an interesting Joe Flacco day, I think I saw in your Sports Illustrated article earlier today, or wherever you've been writing, I think it was a Sports Illustrated one. Is that right?
Yeah, that's where I did put a story up today over there.
So you're in like 12 million spots, but you had something along the lines of like, you might not have a fever today. You'll have Flacco fever. And I thought to myself, I'm like, I kind of do feel a little under the weather. Like, did I?
It's an epidemic, JP.
Is that what this is? I've been feeling bad for a couple weeks.
It's making waves in Cleveland.
Yeah, so a lot of Flacco fever today. And by the way, you can Odyssey rewind about 2 o'clock as I just poured cold water on the entire idea of Joe Flacco's existence. If there was any other way to, I don't know any other way to put it.
Well, hey, it's fitting that you and I agree so much on Shador Sanders. I believe you and I also agreed on the idea that, like, we kind of just wanted Joe Flacco to be because we wanted to remember him for who he was in 2023 and nothing else. Didn't you have that take too?
That's exactly it. Like I don't want it. You're going to sour the experience. If you loved him in 2023, you're going to sour everything that you loved about that man. And he's going to, if he does get a chance to play, he's going to go out and it's going to stink up the joint because he's 41 years old and you're just going to end up hating him. And you're going to end up being like, wait, I liked this so much better when I had a positive remembrance of him. It's like if you dated someone for a few months and it was a great relationship and you're like, wow, like that was nice. Too bad it didn't work out. But like, I really enjoyed that. Like, you look back fondly on it. And then a couple years later, they come back into your life. But you date for like a month and was like, why? What did I ever see in this person?
So kind of like the Karen Reed situation. Have you watched that documentary at all?
No.
Oh, I'll have to give you. We'll have to talk about it after we talk to Lance.
Give me the TLDR. Well, Lance can wait for a second. Coach Riz, we'll get to you in a second. What's the TLDR?
That's
Karen, too long. Didn't read.
There's this case that happened in Boston where this woman named Karen Reed, I think it was her fiance. I think they were engaged at the time. He died mysteriously in like this blizzard. And they couldn't prove if she like hit him with her car, like if it was an accident or if it was like this, like a, cause he was a police officer. And if it was like this dirty cop situation, cause they were at somebody's house at like a bunch of the cops that lived there. And so there was this whole case. They ended up calling it a mistrial. She's on trial again. But the reason I compared it to that is because apparently him and her, the man who died, John.
Yeah. I regret asking.
Karen,
I'm sorry.
And Karen Reed, they dated initially like in high school or something. And then like they went their separate ways and then came back together. And now he ends up dead. So that to your point, like if the situation ends part of the relationship ends with somebody dead, I think you'd probably regret
that's
that.
Not yes. Great. That's spoiler
let's
alert.
Let's
not
hope
great.
This doesn't end with Joe Flacco dead though. That'd be terrible.
It's what How I Met Your Mother called the return is what it was. So Spencer's been doing a lot of murder mystery lately. And that's nice
my
to learn.
My wife watched it. And she was like, you got to watch it. And I was like, okay.
If I had a dollar for every murder mystery I watched.
Turned your wife under the bus there.
Well, no.
She was like, you got to watch it. I want to know if you think she did it or not.
Most
I was like,
of the time, I would be like, you're copping out to your wife. You actually want to watch those shows. But women love those shows.
They do.
There's no other way to put it. The true crime world is a billion-dollar industry because women love those shows, and my wife loves them just the same way that your wife loves them. All right, let's go out to North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Sorry to keep you waiting. Coach Riz, Cleveland.com, joins us here on The Fan. What's up, Coach?
Hey, how are you guys? No, the murder mysteries, I'm in. It's not just a wife thing. I'm all in, too.
Well, then you got to watch this Karen Reed story, Lance. HBO Max.
I was wondering how you're going to bring that full circle there. I thought you did a pretty nice job there. It was the connection. I liked it. It was you brought a full circle at the end there. Very
so
well done.
I can't imagine you watching those, Coach, and only because I've known you long enough. And but I think you
want me to interrupt my film studying to watch this.
Not only that, but the idea that like you wouldn't just watch that and be like, oh, I guess that guy's the murderer. You'd want to dissect it. You'd want to break down the tape of the murderer.
Yeah, it gets a little. I try to figure it out too early. I got to let it happen. That's not a bad call right there, because I do. I get a little anxious. I'm trying to figure it out early. The early scouting report never worked in those shows, though.
No, you need the all 22 of the murder in order to figure out what exactly happened. All right, Coach.
Oh, that all 22. I'm in for that. That'd be good.
All right, tell us the latest with Joe Flacco, the geriatric that the Browns signed today.
Well, it's interesting. You know, I had the same conversation in terms of like. I don't want to say be careful what you wish for, but he is 40 years old. And, you know, I think the thing that is going to maybe be the caveat here is the fact that he's been in this offense. And the big thing for me is it tells me the Browns are going back to what they do. And the exciting part for me is that, first of all, they can get a back. This offense allows a lot of backs, not just Nick Chubb, Ford. But if they can get a heavy back in there, then get him to second six, it can help the quarterback. I've said it for a couple weeks now. The important thing is that first down for whoever the quarterback is. Now that he knows the offense, that should help a little bit. But more importantly, it's going to make that offensive line better because they're back to what they do really, really well. Should make the running game as a whole much better. It should make Jerry Jeudy better because they're going to be in 13 personnel, which tells you the defense is going to have regular personnel in the game. So not just the signing of Joe Flacco for what he's going to do, which I think he'll be okay. They can't ask him to do too much. That's really what it comes down to. You know, he had 8 turnovers when he played, and then two big ones in the playoff game. He's got to protect the football. That's one of the keys for the quarterback, whoever it is. So, I don't want to say I'm disappointed. I was a Kirk Cousins fan. I know I might be on a mountain there. Just the same kind of thing, though. The idea of knowing the offense allows these guys to play full speed and maybe get some, not get off to such slow starts in games.
So Lance, JP and I talked earlier about this idea that signing Flacco, I think, actually leaves the door very much open on the Browns taking Shedeur Sanders at 2, because it sort of sets up this bridge situation where Flacco's here for a year and can kind of set the tone for a rookie, and then that person takes over. But we know the Browns have been linked to some other names at 2 right now. From your perspective, does the Flacco signing change anything in terms of their potential interest in Shedeur? And I guess it's like a two-parter here. If they don't take Sanders at 2, who is next in line for you that you think they should target as a quarterback in sort of the rookie realm?
Well, you know, if I was thinking about, I don't think it changes what they're thinking. I have gotten the vibe over the last 3 or 4 weeks that they're not real high on any of these guys. I think they're higher on Cam than they are on Shedeur. I think Shedeur fits their scheme a little bit more. I think they've gone back and forth with that. But you don't get for me, I didn't get the, like, when people are interested, you can kind of feel that. And not that they haven't been super interested, but I can see them, more importantly, maybe taking a guy late, but I can see them not taking a quarterback at all and wait until 26. However, if I had to pick a guy, I would go with Tyler Shuck. And I know, again, people are like, Jackson Dart. For me, it's his age helps him in the situation he's going to be in. The Browns are not in a, we got to rebuild and get this going. These coaches in this administration, they got to win right now. And I think obviously Flacco can help with that. I think Tyler Shuck is a pretty polished guy, especially in the pocket. Some of the things that he's asked to do, this offense that Kevin Stefanski likes, it sometimes it limits an elite guy from getting to his, to getting to that 10, but it also helps a guy who's maybe not elite not be a 1 and can kind of keep him at a 5 to a 7. And that's kind of what the Browns need. I think Flacco can start off with that. I still think Kenny Pickett can be okay in terms of that, but signing Pickett and then signing Flacco, I wouldn't be shocked if they don't take a quarterback at all.
All right, let's focus on Shuck for a second, though, because I find that fascinating. You know, multiple people in the past week have told me that if Shuck was 21 years old, he'd be the best quarterback in this class. Now, you do have to ding him for being as old as he is, because, you know, part of evaluating and getting these guys, to where you project them out to be is the idea that, let's say, 22-year-old Shedeur Sanders isn't going to be the same at 25. He's going to get better and better with age. How much do you ding a quarterback based off of age and what we just described?
You know, I don't, and here's why. Because back when, you know, we go back to, like, the Brand Whedon stuff, you know, there was such a difference between what colleges were doing and what NFL teams were doing back when Whedon was the quarterback, right? When he came out, he's 28 years old. These quarterbacks are so well-versed now in terms of what they're seeing, and, you know, and obviously Shador Sanders had Pat Shurmur. But Tyler Shuck, he's such a complete quarterback with his footwork, his ability to throw the football. And really the only negative thing I've heard about him in terms of what people hold their hat on is his age. And for me, that age comes into it if there's going to be a huge learning curve when he gets there. He played for Brohm, and Brohm's one of my favorite offensive coordinators. He's played from underneath center. He's had multiple play calls in the huddle. They huddle up at Louisville. They go fast. So he's had some NFL types things that he's going to get. So there's not that much of a learning curve where he's going to come in at 25, 26 years old, have to learn everything, have to learn the footwork from underneath center, have to learn what a high-low read is, have to, you know, have the snap count. You know, some of these guys come into the NFL and they've never done anything but clap their hands in a snap count. So all that stuff takes time to learn, and I think Tyler Shuck does that very, very well. In terms of what he does well on the field, his ability to throw the ball in tight windows, anticipation, accuracy, it's closer to Shador Sanders. I have that closer to Shador Sanders than most people do. I think he's elite, and I think if he comes in and he can play within a year, all right, so you got a guy, if you're telling me this guy's going to be really good for 6 to 8 years, I think people would take that, especially if you're going to take him in the later rounds, right? I don't know. His skill set, to me, matches what Kevin Stefanski wants to do offensively. He's not a big improviser. He's not a guy who's going to do his own thing, but that's what Kevin Stefanski likes. So I'm real high on Shuck. I think Jackson Dart has a pretty good high ceiling, but there's no one more hot and cold than Jackson Dart. After those two, Tyler Shuck is the guy I like the best.
Lance Reisland, Cleveland.com, joining us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Going back to the number two pick, obviously the tides have sort of shifted towards the Browns maybe honing in on Travis Hunter. Do you believe that he can succeed at playing both ways in the NFL? And if he does specialize, where do you think the Browns should prioritize using him?
Well, you know, my thing is with, you know, obviously being a high school football coach, a lot of us who coach at that level, you have guys who play both ways. And what we try to do when I was coaching is we try to get a guy to go one and a half ways. And you sit down as a staff and you say, all right, where can he take his rest if he needs a rest? Or where can he not get as much contact? And that's what they got to figure out. So, you know, it goes either way. If they're going to use him as a corner 100%, then don't make it complicated on offense. Get him the ball in space. Get him to green grass. He's a touch guy. He's not a position. He's not a receiver. He's not a running back. You're going to put him wherever it is to get touches or use him as a decoy. Same thing on offense. If you're going to make him just an offensive guy, then defensively he comes in and he plays man. He doesn't have to learn a lot of his own coverage. He can just use his elite, elite ball skills, his elite short area bursts, his ability, his fluid hips. Then you just put him in man coverage. You bring him in and you go Deion Sanders style where you're going to, you know, bring him in, maybe put him on the slot. Or you're going to make him take the best receiver when he comes in the game. But whatever side he's not 100% in, don't make it complicated for him. Just allow him to use it. Don't overcoach it, right? Just get him the ball in space if he's on offense and let him cover in man on defense and then go from there. Because, once again, if you're thinking your feet aren't moving, that's part of his success is just allowing him to be a raw athlete out there. And he's as good as it gets athletically. When you watch the film on him, he's pretty special in his movement skills.
Coach, an interesting name floated around today with the, you know, the comeback of Joe Flacco is maybe the Browns would go back to some former players that used to be on this team that they've already sent packing. One of them was Amari Cooper, though, and I don't know what you think. That's why I'm asking. I think he's cooked like a rotisserie chicken. I think there's nothing left. I'd be surprised if there's any juice left at all. But do you feel like the Browns should be back in the Amari Cooper business?
Well, I will say this about Amari Cooper. He did not play well when he left, but his skill set, that's why I was always shocked that, you know, the teams that got rid of him, his skill set is not based on raw speed. His skill set is fundamentals and technique, right? He attacks hips, he attacks shoulders, he attacks blind spots, he understands coverage. He's never been a blazer, so that's usually what takes people away. He's really good. That's usually what makes, you know, receivers kind of, you know, fall off the cliff as they get older in their career, especially if they're a blazer. He's never been that. So I do think within a system, the structured system, he could have some success, but I really think the Browns need an influx of talent. Now having a veteran guy in there, that's okay with me too, but they got to get some guys. Right now the Browns on offense have to do everything perfectly to score. And you saw last year with penalties and things like that. That happens at all levels. And people are saying the Browns are undisciplined. That's offense. And I tell everybody all the time, if you have to go 10 to 12 plays every time you touch the football, you know, you're going to do something wrong. You're going to hold. You're going to, you know, you're going to do something. Every once in a while, you got to not do things right, and a guy just makes a play for you. And that's the kind of guy, you know, a Luther Burden from Missouri and Buka, guys who could just get the ball in space and make some plays for you without everybody else having to be perfect. But Cooper, I think, could help the room, you know, and I think that can't be overstated. But they got to have some guys who make some plays in space without everything being perfect.
All right, Coach. We'll let you get back to those murder mysteries.
Yeah, go watch about Karen Reed. Find out. Tell me if you think she did it or not.
And
I will check that out for sure. I got some. It's a great time of year. I got lots of film. Day three guys are my favorite. So
I don't believe you. By the way, I don't believe you're going to watch a murder mystery when the draft is 2 weeks away. Don't believe you.
After the draft, I'm going to get a text from Lance one night. He's going to be like, "I think she did it." I'm going to know exactly.
You're
going to know.
It'll be like 3.5 years from now. And then it'll be like, I finally got around to it. That was a great recommendation by you. Thank you so much. It's like, I just had to
might not be on trial anymore.
Stuck on seventh tight ends for the 2028 class for a while. We finally got over it. Thank you so much for the recommendation. Thanks, Coach.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. I'll talk soon. See you guys.
Love it. Thank you. And
Listen. You said your flight is tomorrow afternoon.
That's right.
You're going to be driving to the airport. You can tune in.
Bingo. And you know the sicko
You got to drive from the east side to the west side to get there. I know that drive, so you got plenty of time. Well, you got like 30 minutes. You can listen.
So we'll get to Joe Flacco in a second, but it is how do you do vacations that way? Because obviously next week I'm going to Orlando. We're gonna have a couple days at Disney. It was a compromise I had with my wife to not spend the whole week at Disney. We're going to Orlando. We're going to a couple days. But like
by the way, I love that everyone is, when you hear you're going to Orlando, everyone's gonna frame it as like, oh, you're going to Disney. I love that. I love that you are making the point and letting people know, like, no. We are not going to Disney. We are strictly going to Orlando. We're doing more than just Disney. You want to make sure it's branded a very specific way. I love
that. If the conversation with my wife was a sporting event, I lost 48-0. But I didn't lose 72-0, okay? Like, it's not all 5 days at Disney. A couple days at Disney.
You limited the damage.
Think about it. Like, our vacation was like, hey, so should we go to, like, Mexico or something and go to one of the resorts? And it's like, well, how about Disney for a couple days? And that's the compromise, okay? Like, instead of going for five days.
The octagon with, like, Conor McGregor, yeah, and they were like, you have to spend 30 seconds in here. It's like, you got away from him more than 50% of the time. Like, you ran away and he got you at the very end and got like 10 good punches in, and that was it. And you felt pretty good about that.
It was one of the all-time I didn't win anything, but we call it a compromise, so it makes it seem like I won something. Okay, so it makes it seem like I got some part of this. But no, when I go on vacation, so I still listen to everything. And like, so like, I going to the airport tomorrow, we'll have you on. I promise we'll have you on. And it's just one of those things. I don't know how other people approach that. All sorts of people in this business, they'll be like, all right, once you're stepped out the door, that is 9 days of not listening to any Browns conversations or anything. It's just not how I roll.
I would say I generally try to disconnect as much as I can. I think it's impossible to do that, especially in society in general. But I also think just like in our business, we do try to stay sort of up to date on certain things and like still sort of understand what the conversations are around them. And I can say that because like I know sometimes when we go on trips and things, I get lost in like some big story that breaks. And it takes my wife kind of being like, hey, like we're going to dinner. Like, can we put the phone down? Like, she has to kind of remind me at times.
Sure.
So I definitely get like, I can think back to our honeymoon. We like beat the buzzer on our honeymoon. We got married in 2019. We didn't do our honeymoon until like we left like 2 days after Christmas, spent New Year's there, and then like came back in January of 2020. So it was like right before everything hit the fan with COVID. And I remember that was that week was the week that John Dorsey got fired. And so like
week,
that news came down and
that's
I was like,
big week.
Oh my God, like this is a huge deal. Like John Dorsey got fired. He's like the best GM they've had in like years. He built this entire team. And so I was like reading a bunch of articles and like what happened. And then like it got to the point where my wife was like, all right, look, we have this massage plan. Like, can we at least go enjoy something rather than you just be on your phone or whatever? So I know I do that and I try not to, but yeah, I can't quite disconnect the way that I think I want to.
Rest assured, unless aliens come down and kidnap Deshaun Watson, I will not be calling into the show next week with takes on it, but I'll be listening to everything and I'll be taking in everything. And then maybe we should do, when I come back on the following Monday, we should do like a half segment of like everything that I missed in the week, and I just give
and
off like a 30-second take on it, what I had in the moment.
I like that.
And then we just keep that thing moving. We can do a whole weeks of shows.
Should that just be all of in case you missed it on the following Monday? Like in case you
sign me up.
In case JP missed it, and you can just rattle off.
We just go one after the other after the other. I like it. All right, 216-474-0092. I want to touch base a couple things with you guys. Obviously, we're talking about Joe Flacco. We've talked about it all day long. You said over, is this the Browns admitting another wrong? And I think what you're getting at there is the idea that well, a couple things. I'll let you obviously explain your side of it.
Yeah,
but. I mentioned Amari Cooper to Coach Riz. I think Amari Cooper is I think he's cooked. I think he's done. I think there's nothing left in the gas tank. The reason why he's been available this entire time is the whole entire league knows there is nothing there. But it does kind of open up, at least the Joe Flacco coming back to Cleveland conversation, at least opens up a where else will they go? Is it now just we just open our arms to everyone that we then basically showed the door? Where does it stop? Does it start with Joe Flacco and stop with Joe Flacco and everything else associated?
Well, so what I also think is interesting about this conversation is that Nathan Zagura with The Morning Show last week had that quote about, he did mention Flacco, but he also mentioned like Nick Chubb, Elijah Moore, and Jedrick Wills. Yeah. Those were the other three names that he threw out there to bring back. And I do, like, there does have to be a cutoff point where you realize we can't bring back every, like, last year, 2024, I understand why they brought so many guys back from a season when you went 11-5, made the playoffs, and fell short, but felt like you were doing something, right? Like, there was something special there. I understood why they brought a lot of those guys back. Bringing back a team that had three wins last year, even if a lot of it was centered around the quarterback position, and that Deshaun Watson is just toast at this point in his career, you still don't need to go back out and just bring everybody back and be like, well, let's try it again with this group. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, to use a Cavs example, like, Kobe Altman's gotten away with being able to run it. I shouldn't say gotten away with it, but he's been able to run it back with the same iteration of the team for a couple years now because they've made steady progress each step of the way. If they had taken a major step back, like, if they go from getting gentlemen swept by the Knicks 2 years ago to then last year, they're like, they missed the play-in tournament completely, that would have been a different conversation, right? Like, you don't just bring guys back after a bad season. So I do think there's a cutoff point here. Jedrick Wills, I think, is part of that cutoff point for me. If they want to bring back Nick Chubb, I think everyone would be on board with that as kind of like a support role rather than like the main feature back of a room. But yeah, I you can't do it with everybody. But I do think on some level, like to get to the point on like them rewriting some wrongs here, we know that the conversation around why they didn't bring Flacco back last year was all had to do with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah,
all had to do with the idea that they didn't want to put him in an uncomfortable situation, which already speaks to the fact that they basically knew he was probably shot mentally. Like, if they thought he was too fragile to even just have Joe Flacco, who clearly helped the team the year before just by playing and being on this team, like, that's kind of conceding already that they thought there was probably a good chance that Deshaun Watson wasn't there mentally, but they decided not to do it that way.
Well, so the reason why they didn't want to do that, and I think it will end up being a discussion for them this upcoming year, is they knew that every fan would call into 92.3 The Fan right here, and the moment there was any sign of struggle, they'd be like, we want Joe Flacco. They would chant in the stadium, we want Flacco. And I do think it will be something that will be a challenge for them this upcoming season.
Would that have been any worse, though, than them cheering for him when he was being carted off the field with a ruptured Achilles, though? Like, is that really that bad?
I mean, the moment that he went down with the Achilles, people would have just been standing and applauding for Flacco being in. It would have been an instant, like, this is great. But we might not have even gotten
to DTR anyway, though.
We wouldn't even have gotten to that point. Like I do wonder about that. And maybe it's not if Shador gets drafted, because I think a lot of people rally around Shador. But if you end up taking, I don't know, Jackson Dart at number, you trade in the first round, you get Jackson Dart, and then he starts right away because he beats out Flacco in some sort of competition, and the plan is that he's supposed to be the long-term quarterback and you got to give him a long runway. Let's say he stinks up the joint 3 games in. You telling me we're not going to get phone calls for Joe Flacco to enter the equation? Instantly, everyone's going to call in and say, we want some of the Flacco magic. We got Flacco fever. And I feel like the Browns know that. And so they're entering into a potential world of hurt if that's the situation that it goes down. And I know they're aware of it because it's why they avoided it last year. But to swerve into it now is very interesting.
Well, so now that has me thinking, because we spent so much time talking about, like, this actually leaves the door open on Shedeur Sanders being the pick at two. And I still do stand by that. But I almost do wonder if, because of that scenario you just kind of laid out, does that imply now that maybe they will not take Shedeur Sanders and they'd rather take, like, a Jackson Dart? Because somebody like Jackson Dart probably isn't going to be ready to start week one, right? Like, is that what we're kind of assuming here?
So that's the worry. Because
if they can frame it that way, then they don't even have to worry about Flacco breathing down his neck. You get what I'm saying?
I see exactly what you're saying. And I think that would be one of the worries that they would have to offer up, is that if they went with someone like Shedeur or started a quarterback right away, the moment they start to slide is when fans will call for Joe Flacco.
See, but this is also why it leaves the door open on Shedeur, though, is because I think Shedeur is the one quarterback that, like, it doesn't matter if they call for Flacco. Like, he seems like the person of this group that has the maturity to kind of understand and navigate that situation and it not affect him in any way on the field. That's why I think it kind of leans into that a little bit more as well. So you can see it both ways, like I just kind of laid out. But it's an interesting sort of perspective that we have on this, because I do think Shedeur would be the most ready to start immediately. And even if people were calling for Flacco, I think he would just kind of deal with that, because he doesn't seem like he's bothered by anything at this point.
216-474 to below 92. Jim and Menor. What's up, Jim?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Jim. How's it going today?
Good. Just a couple points I just want to bring up, and I think it's more setting in expectations. You guys bring up some really good points. But I will say, I think we should be thinking about, you know, this acquisition of Flacco a little differently again. One, we are definitely, a year removed from his playing from, you know, the Colts as well. And I feel like we kind of forget that he did play a year again with another team. You know, it's not like he doesn't have that on his resume. He wasn't a sought-after quarterback coming into the year. We have history with him, so I think we are looking at it from those rose-colored glasses right now of what we remember of him. But the expectations for him to be coming here as a player is, one, to compete for the starting job, whether he is going to be handed a position or he's going to win it from whoever is going to be, Kenny Pickett or a draft pick. Like, he should be still showing that he's going to earn a position. And as we all know from the, you know, the year that he played for that sample size, there was some good and there were some things that troubled us as well, knowing why. Maybe there was some reasons to kind of look at maybe some alternatives. So I'm not looking at Joe Flacco as a savior, especially with his age and things like that. And I think we all can recognize that, you know, long term, I mean, that's not a situation with him. So what we should be thinking about is, as great as we can get him into, you know, back into the fold, because we think that he does bring something to the team, it's not for a long term solution. So I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim. It's a good measured approach.
I was going to say, a pretty mild-mannered, I think, way to view this thing. I agree.
All right, we'll continue with a couple of your phone calls. In case we missed it, comes next. We'll put a bow on this one. It's Jonathan Pino and Spencer German with you guys right here on The Fan.